We take them out to dinner. We buy them special gifts. But the sad thing is that oftentimes Mother's Day is really just a time when families try to atone or say they're sorry for an entire year of neglect and disrespect and for a lack of appreciation. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. Now, most people agree, whether they are Christians or not, that we are living in a post-Christian era. That doesn't mean that the church is dead or that Christianity is dead. What it means is that the influence that biblical Christianity once had on our nation and in our culture has diminished to the point where it wouldn't be recognized by Christians from 100 to 200 years ago. Kevin and I were talking one day, and we just came up with some real talk, and I said, you know, I don't even think Paul would come to our church. I don't think he would come to any of our churches, amen? I don't think the disciples would sit through our shenanigans and foolishness and things that we call church and ascribe to the name of God. And that includes morality, education. When we talk about they wouldn't even know the church, they wouldn't know us as Christians. And that includes morality, education, social action, and maybe most importantly, parenting. Basically, what's happened is the secular humanistic reasoning has taken the place of biblical truth when it comes to setting the perimeters for a home and family. And just to make that a little plainer, what I'm simply saying is that how they do it in the world has now been adopted by how we do it in the church, and not just in the church, but in the homes of the people who frequent the church. By a contrast, a Christian should be one who sees the home and marriage and parenting as framed within the perimeters of God's infallible and authoritative word. In other words, what I'm saying is if you are saved or you proclaim to be saved, then your household should be ran, your entire life should be ran by the word of God. We could care less what the world is doing. We could care less at how they're reasoning it and trying to make sense of it. The way we live our lives is by the word of God. And the truth of God's word should not only shape our beliefs and practices in all areas of life, but they are absolutes that guide us through life. And so our opinions and beliefs are only legitimately Christian to the degree that they line up to God's word. So you can tell me you are saved as you want to tell me. You can try your best to make me believe that you truly uphold the bloodstained banner. But what you do and what you say will be judged, oh God, by the word of God. The problem is that today our minds have been darkened by secularism and sin. And a lot of folks can't tell if something is biblical or secular at all. You should never walk into a church and wonder if you are in the church or if you're in the club. Yeah, and I ain't just talking about from how you dress. I'm talking about from what you sing, from what's being sung, from what's being taught, from how people are operating with one another. The first thing that you should see in the house of the Lord is love. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is why I love Sister Arnell so much. I love her walk because I don't care what type of day she's having. I don't care who's saying what or who did what. You're going to get a hug. If you get close enough to her and if she got time before the service starts, she's going to hug everybody in the building. And that should, and let me tell you something. You know you in the wrong place, or I ain't going to say the wrong place. You know you sitting next to the wrong member when they get on their nerves. Love should never get on your nerves. In fact, let me go ahead and take it deeper, and this ain't gonna sound too Christian-y. Yeah, I made that word up. But love should only get on your nerves, watch this, when love tells you what you can't do no more. What would it have saved us if we would have listened to the love of God while we were growing up? What would we not be going through had we listened to the love of God on an everyday basis? You know, and here's the hit. I can expect people to be nasty in the world, but I don't expect you to be nasty in the church. Now, let me shift the barrel of the shotgun, understand? Because sometimes we have people who think ain't supposed to be no drama in the church. But you don't go to a hospital and not see sick people. You go to the hospital because there's something inside of you that needs to be dealt with to get you closer to him. So it blows my mind when people get upset because they don't see the church just as the most holy and righteous, and baby, it ain't supposed to be the most perfect place in the world. In fact, the holiness in the church should actually attract unholiness to come inside the church so that we can perform several different surgeries to get them where God wants them to be. But if you just come to church thinking it's supposed to be all worked out, baby, you in the wrong place. You in the wrong place. We have a job to do. You understand what I'm saying to you? As Christians, we have a job to do. And so when God brings them, however he brings them, into the house of the Lord, they should not feel like this ain't the place for them. And, you know, I still smoke weed. This ain't the place for me. You know, I still get drunk. This ain't the place for me. And, you know, I got a problem with my flesh. This ain't, I got a problem with my sexual lust. This ain't a place for me. Ah, sure it is. Come on in. That's how we ought to be. Sure it is. Come on in. This is the place for you. Watch this. But this is not the place for you to come in with all of that and stay the same. You never go to the, anybody ever been to the emergency room? You just ever been to the, something was going on in your body. You know it wasn't right. It had you feeling all type of discomfort. You never went to the hospital and said, don't fix me. You never went to the emergency room and said, I'm in pain, but I want it to stay this way. I just come to sit and look around and make sure everybody else is sick. No, the devil is a lie. Baby, we want them to come on in. And us, the laborers, as Jesus called us, the laborers, let me go ahead and make it plain, the physicians, the doctors, the people that's supposed to keep God's word, we are supposed to come together as one and do multiple surgeries over the building. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then the people that's sick, they leave whole. But if we just want a place where everybody's okay, then where do the sick people go? Oh, Lord, have mercy. We expect crazy from the world, but we're actually seeing some of the same things within the church as well. The trend that we're seeing in the church is that church folks are acknowledging the sufficiency of God in the Bible, but they fail to see a need to subject their personal opinions, reasonings, and emotions to the guidelines of Scripture in all areas of life, including what happens in their home. See, what I'm saying is that we ain't got no problem saying God is good and God is the greatest and I'll lift your name on high and all of that, but the problem comes in when that same God we're supposed to subject ourselves to, in other words, get in alignment with or get up under the authority of him, there's where the problem comes. Because, see, you can't live your life and live Christ's life too. Woo! You don't get to do you and do Jesus too. It just don't work out. I'm trying to tell you, it ain't never going to taste right. Lord, have mercy. And so we read something like Romans 12:2, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know that we're not supposed to be conformed to the world, but the world should be conformed by us? Ah, well, Pastor, why isn't the world being conformed by us? Because we have yet to conform to the ways of God. And when we put our agenda down, when we put the way we feel about it down, when we put the way we see it down, then all of a sudden the world will see something that they hardly ever get to see from the 21st century westernized church. They get to see power. They get to see a transformation that could only come by the word of God. God. And that thing should colonize. It should begin to colonize. It should begin. Come here, Kevin. It should begin to colonize. Turn around, Kevin. It should begin to colonize. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And now you don't see Kevin no more. Now you see me. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Quit waiting to die to get to heaven. Jesus said to the apostles, to the disciples that wanted to pray, your kingdom, my kingdom is coming. coming on earth. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. And as we come on earth, there should be a colonization, a spiritual colonization, to where everything that we begin to encamp never looks the same again. It never looks like it looked before it came in contact with us. The kingdom come. Will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we ain't conforming to nothing that ain't Jesus. And we think that that only applies to our moral behavior, but not to things like marriage or raising kids. Instead, we leave those things to the pop psychologist and the talk show host. But all of our relationships should be directed by the truth of Scripture, whether it's education, whether it's finances, political involvement, or jobs, our marriages, or parenting. They should all be directed by Scripture. And having said all that, let's look at the book of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. And before I get into this passage, there's a point of knowledge that I would like to make. The word or phrase that's translated as virtuous in the New King James Version, or it says of a noble character. Virtuous is of a noble character. In the NIV, it is the Hebrew word shael, which literally means strength and valor, and it's always excellent. In other words, the virtuous woman, the wife, the mother, the virtuous wife, the virtuous mother is a bad. Shut your mouth. Here is the problem that we have. We got too many mothers who think they are what they're not. And this is a problem. This is why I hate social media. This is why I hate Facebook, because the most raggedy mamas can get on Facebook and talk about how they the greatest mamas, and everybody will hit the like button. Everybody will hit the love button. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting ready to start a petition, and I hope that you sign it. And my petition is that Mark Zuckerberg adds in a I disagree button. You ain't who you think you are. You don't do it like you think you do. You're not the mother that you think you are. You're not the parent that you think you are. Every now and again, I think we need to have a disagree button. But what we do, watch this, but when I sit back and I watch people who like it, because I meddle big, you dig? So when I see people who like those type of comments over people that I know ain't living the word of God at all, I begin to see who likes it. Now, two things blow my mind. One, most of those likes is from people who ain't good at parenting themselves. But the second set of people is what really blows my mind. That's the church folk. Hold on, how are you going to be saved and like a lie? Oh, God. Somebody write that down. How are you going to be saved and like a lie? And when you don't tell the truth, hey, baby, you ain't the parent that you think you are. Guess who you cheat? The child that's involved. I'm amazed at how many, so many aunties we got and godmamas, and that's my mama, and that's my mama, and all this type of stuff. And those mamas that they got don't tell their real mama the truth, because if you told them the truth, maybe they wouldn't be going through the hell it is that they're going through as children. Children are not supposed to be stressed out to the point that they need medicine at 9. Children are not supposed to be stressed out at the age of 13 to the point where they need a therapist. The devil is a lie. Mama, get on your job. Tell people all the time that daddy should be there. Yeah, and statistically, we have a crazy rate of the father not being in the house. But many a day, I'm glad my daddy wasn't in the house, because I'd have been worse back then. He's an awesome man of God now, but back then, I'd have been worse. And see, you can't keep on putting it on mama. I mean, you can't keep putting it on daddy wasn't there, because mama was. Mama, what did you do while you was there? Quit disrespecting daddy because he wasn't there when you was there, but wasn't really there. Oh, God. Everybody get ready to leave me. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. You know, and I just want to go ahead and tell you, I trust mine. And on the strength that I can trust mine, I'm able to breathe. And since I can breathe, watch this, she grows me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why we got to stop playing games with our wives. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because when we properly handle our wives properly grow us. Woo! She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle, and she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. Can I say that again? Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. I dare anybody that's sitting next to their woman, just turn around to them and tell them, baby, many have done good, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall. Can I just go ahead and say that again? Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. That's why you got to be in love with who you marry, because she ain't going to always look like that, and neither are you. And you got to love them when the looks is leaves, because if you love them from a pure place, the looks never really leave. You just as fine. I'm going to love you when you gain a little weight, and I'm going to love you. Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her work, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Yeah. Throughout the Bible. My wife got on me yesterday. Let me just be honest. She came home because she had told me where she was, and it took a little longer than I thought that she should be home. Yeah. And men know what I mean when this happens. And so I'm timing. After a while, I'm timing. And, you know, you only went for a loaf of bread. You've been there long enough to know where the bread is. You go there every day. And all of a sudden, I called her back and I said, let me tell you something. You better tell him you got a husband at home and you got to go. And so she just hangs up the phone and she pulls into the garage. And I know I'm in trouble. I don't care. I meant what I said. Sick of this. And she sits down in front of me and she says, me and you getting ready to have a talk. And she said something that was powerful to me. She said, you act like you don't know who you got. And I said something as equally as powerful. And brothers, I better hear y'all like I heard them women. I said, I know what I got. That's why I'm playing it the way I do. I said, fellas, y'all better make some noise. Leave me over here like that. Don't none of you jokers call me. Need no prayer. But I said what I said was because, see, every now and again, and she can act like she really gets upset with me about me being lightweight jealous. But see, there will never be one thing that enters her mind that I don't care or that I don't see her the way that I see her. So I expect other men to see her the way that I see her, because I see her as the bomb. I'm not questioning her. I know who she is. But that don't mean I want Sexy Dex shooting his best shot just because I know she'll say no. Yeah. I don't mind letting her know. Yeah, I know who you are. That's why I am the way I am about you. I understand that she exceeds the worth of rubies. You see what I'm saying? And I find myself to be a knowledgeable brother, so if I can see that, I figure every other cat can too, even if they don't know what to do with it. Lord, have mercy. Throughout the Bible, this word is translated virtuous as able or capable 8 times. It's translated as strength 10 times and as valiant over 40 times. And basically, it refers to the moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. Now, as we look through these verses, we get a good understanding of what the writer meant by virtuous. I've seen like 5 qualities there, and there probably could be more, but I saw 5. I'm gonna show you what I mean. In verses 11 and 12, you'll see, and verse number 23, but if you can show 11 and 12, Ashley, you'll see that she is trustworthy and devoted. She has her husband's confidence, and she enhances his reputation. We say something like this, you married up. We tell brothers all the time, you know, you married up. In other words, you are all right, but when you married her, your stock became higher. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you got a good woman, she does something for your reputation. Lord, have mercy. Number two, she is a woman of diligence and wisdom. She sees that in verses, and you see that in verses 13 through 19, she's not afraid to work. She's a wise shopper, and she plans ahead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. In other words, she's not frivolous with the income. She doesn't just go out and she's ready to trick off the electric because she saw a new dress. Number three, though she's not frivolous, she's a giving person. In verse 20, it says that she extends her hand to the poor. In other words, she has planned ahead well enough to be able to not only take care of the family's needs, but also the needs of the poor in her society. She is also, number four, she is dependable. We see in verses 15 and 21 and 27, when adversity comes, be it bad weather or something else, you know she's already got a plan to deal with whatever it might be. Five, and lastly, but most importantly, she is a woman who loves the Lord. We see that by reading all of the verses of our text. She is someone who is guided and directed by God's word and God's wisdom. Now, it's problematic for some of us men who aren't saved, because the woman that I'm describing is a saved woman of God. And every now and again, that saved woman of God just can kind of get on our nerves. Amen. How many of you brothers have wanted to do something, you know, you might have to, you know, throw it back and forth in your head. You might have to figure out how you can justify it. And when you bring it to your wife or your woman and she just straight up tells you, we shouldn't do that. And then you say, well, tell me why, because you don't really thought about how it's going to bless you, how it's going to bless the house. And you start out by telling her first, if you're smart, how it's going to bless her. And so she says, but when she says, I don't even care how it's going to bless me, it's wrong. God ain't going to be happy with that. And then she begins to drop scripture on you. All of a sudden, y'all can just go ahead and act like y'all's come out the womb speaking in tongues, men. But all of a sudden, I catch an attitude. I say something like, now why we got to bring Jesus in this? I just told you a perfectly good plan that's legal. And she's like, it might be legal, but it ain't expedient. Just because you can don't mean you should. Oh, the woman of God has crushed me a many a night. Now, ladies, you might read through that and say to yourselves, this isn't describing a woman. It's actually describing Superwoman. And that's actually a pretty good assessment. It's describing a woman who is living in a supernatural way with a supernatural God. And it has to be that way because there are few things that are more important to society than godly mothers. The Bible is clear in its teachings, both explicit and implicit, that the family is the foundation of society. And while fathers are responsible for the way the family goes, mothers are the glue that holds the family together. And so, since moms are important to the family and society, I want to really quickly look at some of the problems they face so the rest of us can really show our appreciation this Mother's Day and every day of the year. First off, we need to look at motherhood and femininity with respect. Femininity, not feminism. The Bible warns us over and over again about the anti-Christian forces that are constantly at work to get us to adopt values and attitudes of the world. But again, in Romans 12, it tells us that we are not to be conformed to the world's pattern. We aren't supposed to be shoved into the mold that the world has for us. Let me just be blunt and tell you what I mean by that. Motherhood is more important than having a career. It's more important than having a career. Not saying that women can't do both. I'm just saying that it's important that they understand which one is more important. Secondly, 2 Timothy, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Here's a word, brutal. Can we get that scripture's own thing? Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From those people, from such people, turn away. Amen. From such people, turn away. Now you notice what Paul is saying there. He told Timothy that the perilous times will come in the last days, because people will become lovers of themselves and lovers of money. Boasting, pride, and blasphemy are all sins of pride that comes from loving oneself. Disobedient to parents and unthankfulness also comes from a sense of over-exaggerated self-worth. It goes on, but this is the world we live in. And so what do you think this does to the woman? Who by the very nature of her creation is geared to needing love, affection, and reassurance. I'm talking to you men. What do you think this does to the woman? What does it do when the husband loves himself more than his wife? Or when he loves money more than he loves his wife? You see, Satan's first attack was against the wife, and it immediately affected the home. He still attacks us today, including moms and wives. But then you couple that with the fact that people sometimes, husbands, are lovers of themselves and lovers of money, and we can get downright proud. Kids are sometimes disobedient. People are unthankful and unloving, and these humanistic, unbiblical ideas and beliefs and behavioral patterns affect the family and the home, and especially the mother, because she is the keeper of the home. When we bring all that mess from the world in, we're bringing it in to a house that she has made a home, and we have become portals, subconscious portals of the enemy to bring hell into a home that she's been working her butt off to keep peace in. When I was on the run, I was dating a Christian woman, and so much so that when I would get to the house, to the door, I would stop and go. In the hallways of the apartments, they have the thing you can push in for the attics. I would put my gun up there and I would shut it down, and I'd go, because her spirit was so powerful, it did not allow me to walk into that house. I paid the bills. I bought the cars. I did everything that needed to be done. She didn't have a need or a want. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the only thing she didn't want was me to bring that foolishness into her home. So I would stop at the door, what they say, and check myself at the door. And before I walk in and go, hey, I don't care who I just might have shot. I don't care who might have shot at me. When I walk in that door, hey, baby, I'm going to respect the peace of God that she's brought through the house. Men, it would do us some good to, before we walk in the door, to stop at the door and go, I've had a crazy day, but I don't know how her day has been, so I won't take my day out on her. And as crazy as my day has been, before I even get into what's upsetting me or getting on my nerves or maybe what she hasn't done, by the time that I get home, I'm going to sit down and say, how was your day? Tell me what you did today. Talk to me about what's going on in your life. How's your health? How are you feeling? You understand what I'm saying to you? Because then the woman begins to understand that even though it's chaotic for you, you respect the fact that it's just as much and more chaotic for her, and now she can trust you. Yeah. Now, watch this. And it's a sad day when I preach words like this and women don't even know to get excited. And it's not that they don't know to get excited. They just going, you could preach till you blue in the face. The one I'm with, he ain't going to rock like that. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Now, those of us who are husbands and fathers, we need to take note of this. Because even though our wives are to be the keepers of the home, we're supposed to be the protectors of the home. In other words, we should not allow these sorts of things to infiltrate our homes and our lives and the lives of our families. We can't do a whole lot about out in the world, but we can make sure that hell is not infiltrating our homes. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 29. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 29. So the passage clearly says that husbands are the head of the house. I want you to see that. Do we have it? We don't have it in there. All right. So I'm just going to need you to trust me. The passage says clearly that the husbands are the head of the house, but it also says that we are to love our wives just like Jesus loves the church. Oh, man. We are to love our wives just like Jesus loves the church. In other words, we are to love our wives sacrificially. And let me just tell you, if we fail to love our wives like this, what we are doing is disobeying a commandment given to us from God's word, and we are distorting the picture that marriage provides of Christ and the church to the world. I want you to get this, men, and I'm guilty of this, so I claim it first. The reality is the man is supposed to serve the woman three times more than the woman serves the man. Yeah. So when we sit back and wait for our plate, the reality is she should be sitting back waiting for her plate. When I'm sitting back waiting for her to cook it, she don't want me to cook it, so we'll just let her stay with that part of it. But some of you guys in here that are married are chefs in your own right. You understand what I'm saying to you? And a part of serving your wife is saying, you know what? And watch this. What would the mindset be of the house if the men walked in and said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm wore out. But I figure you are too. So guess what? Sit down. I got you. I'm going. Because see, if I can push a little harder in overtime, I can definitely do a little overtime for my wife. Oh, God. Oh, God. Can I just go ahead and tell you that the wife, the mother should be the most spoiled creature on the planet if she's holding it down the way that the Bible says she's to hold it down. You understand what I'm saying to you? Lord, have mercy. Watch this. You've heard the saying, as goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the world. Well, this passage is where that idea comes from. Christian marriage is a picture of Christ and his church to the unbelieving world. And secondly, if we fail to love our wives like this, we sin against our wives and our children because our kids pick up on our attitudes and actions. Oh, Lord. One thing that if you won't see me catch a chip is if I see a kid disrespect their parent. But what upsets me more than that is when the parent lets the kid disrespect them. That's why I'm starting something next month called Spank Class. Yeah. Yeah, I do not subscribe to this mentality that I don't spank my kids. That's why your kids run all over you. Because they have nothing to be fearful of. It is not respect. They don't respect you. And I'm going to tell you something. Before I want my kids to respect me, I want them to be scared of me. I want them to know I will tear you out the frame. I wish you would. You hear me? Respect. They're going to learn that from the beating. How many of you come from the age of getting your butt whooped at home? Toe out the frame if you was wrong. Let me ask you something. What is the worst of death rate? What is the worst of death rate? Today's society or the days when we was getting whoopings as teenagers? Wish you would not go to school. Wish you ain't going to school. Well, you going to the hospital. Huh? We got to get back to that whole thing of, you know, I now know the power of. You remember that? Huh? You be standing back here and mama is talking and you over here. Right. Nowadays, kids hold full-fledged grown folk conversations with their parents. I come from the school of, and girl, you know what? And what I was told, you know, and don't even look to see what you broke, busted up, bloodied, none of that. You shouldn't have been talking in the first place.
Yeah. So y'all want to see First Lady after church for sign up for Spank School? I'll show you how to get them right. Amen. And these are some of the old cultures we need to go back to. All this government got a right to show you how to raise your kids. They must be out their mind. You ain't paid for these kids. You ain't going to court with these kids. You ain't burying these kids. You will not tell me how to raise these kids. Lord, have mercy. See, because a lot of the times when they pick that. And here's the hit, and I had to learn this. They pick up that nasty behavior towards their children, towards their parents, towards their mothers from their fathers. And I'll tell you right now, I had to check myself. Like, you know what? Ain't nobody going to keep on disrespecting my wife, you understand? But then the Lord says, so you stop disrespecting her. Look at Proverbs 31. You're probably going to have to get it on your devices or whatever. So it says, as you see, so I want you to catch this. As you see from our text, the demands on mothers are awesome. They include grocery shopping, preparing meals, sometimes for picky eaters, washing and ironing, house cleaning, caring for too many needs of the family, and on and on and on and on again. And we look at that list and we go, the things that lady's doing, she's probably a basket case, but she ain't, because she does it under the power of the Lord. And so just this little time I got left, because I'm almost done, I want to quickly talk about how moms can handle all of this without going ballistic and losing their minds. We already touched on one important part, and that's the necessity of a loving husband and obedient kids. But brothers, to love your wife sacrificially means that you can help out every now and again. It is not beneath us to do some laundry. It's not beneath us to occasionally do the dishes. You notice how I said occasionally. Don't want to remind me of this when we get home. that shows, brothers, that even pastors sometimes have to pull of the world, you know, have the pull of the world on us, where we try to skirt the issue or twist things to suit us every now and again. I'm going to tell y'all a cold-blooded move I used to put down on Miriam is, y'all know I deal with this diabetes. Praise God, I've got the head of it now. I'm winning. But back when I wasn't winning, y'all better clap louder. Y'all better want me to live. But back in the day, I would do something like this. So I wanted some ice cream, right? And I knew she wasn't going to give me no ice cream because she knew about my sugar. So I knew that she cares about me more. I mean, I know she is crazy about me. So I would come into the house, and then I see where she is, and I go, I just need to sit down real quick. And she'd go, baby, what's wrong? Oh, my sugar is my. And then I do this. And she said, what do you need? I'm like, I know I ain't supposed to have it, but I'm going to have something, something sweet. And she says, I can bring it so I can get this sugar down. And she said, I'll get you some ice cream. So when she's getting it, I say something like this, baby, make it a big bowl, because it's been doing this all the way home from work. You understand what I'm saying, T? This is playing on how I know she loved me. Amen. And she rushed right in and was like, hey, you need some, I might need some chocolate syrup on it, because this is bad. Some of y'all, she's called and said, okay, y'all on y'all way to church, grab him something. His sugar's down. And y'all, look, Larissa's over here like, that dog, I done stopped and got him stuff. Yeah, I was playing her. Because I knew who I had. So I used her love against her. For me. Fellas with diabetes, don't try this at home. You'll end up with a 13.9 A1C like I did. I want you to understand this, brothers and kids. It's not beneath us to do the dishes, either occasionally or if it need be often. So that's one of the ways that we can help our wives be this virtuous woman, by helping her out around the house. Secondly, and this one is the one, and this one The wives and moms that really need, this is for the ones that really need to have their priorities straight. In Luke chapter 10, we read the story of Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And Jesus had come over to her house, and Mary found the time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be near him and learn from him, while Martha involved herself in busy work. And she found plenty of things to do so that she didn't have to get alone and be with Jesus. Now, she would have never admitted that, but that's what's implied in the message. Then she even complained to the Lord about Mary's unwillingness to join her in her sin. Because that's what it was. It was sin. Now, I hope everyone realizes that this is the same Mary that goes to the tomb and is the first person to see the resurrected Lord. She was then commissioned to be the very first evangelist. Jesus told her to go and tell the others. And what we may learn from this is that moms need to make Mary's priority their own priority. It doesn't mean that they ignore the other duties of motherhood. It means that they prioritize and have their priorities straight. On the flip side of that, mothers who end up making Martha's priorities their own end up like Martha. They find themselves full of resentment, self-pity, and tension. Moms, do you find yourselves so busy that you don't make time to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to his word and take your burdens and cares to him? The Bible makes it pretty clear that no wife or husband or mom or dad can be the kind of spouse or parent that God has called them to be without the Lord's help. In fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Mothers, get at the feet of Jesus. The last two verses of Proverbs 31. The woman who finds her value in her looks will either have so much plastic surgery and Botox done that she'll end up looking like something out of a horror show, or she will devalue her worth to the point of self-loathing. Mothers, stop comparing yourself to the women on the TV. We love you. You are the bomb times three. Never put into your head, you understand what I'm saying to you, maybe he'd love me if I look like this, or maybe he'd love me if I had this type of education, or maybe he, if he don't love you for who you are, you don't need him. I want you to catch this. You can't get caught up in your looks, because age and gravity eventually sets in on us all. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't have to toot her own horn, and she doesn't have to brag and boast about what she's accomplished. Y'all hear me in here? Her own works will praise her. If you're one of those women that's always having to brag about what you've done, have to talk about what you've done, you know, lifting your own self up, something wrong, baby. Your works should toot your horn for you. Folk will, when you are selfless and a true woman of God, you ain't got to brag on you. Folk will brag on you for you. Her own works will praise her. People will see it and know it. Her children will rise up and they will call her blessed, and her husband will praise her. Can I just go ahead and tell you men in here that's married, if you ain't praising your woman, you are against the word of God. You got to be praising her. But let me say this on the flip side, women, when we praise you, don't get cute. Don't make me sorry that I gassed you up. Yeah, because then we got a whole new set of problems. Can I just go ahead and help the brothers real quick? When the brothers tell you, oh God, this is going to help somebody. When the brothers tell you, they come in and say, we see where we've been wrong. I see where I've been wrong. I see where I've been. I know I won't be listening to you like I should. I know I'll be snapping off on you sometimes a little prematurely. I know I lose my temper with you too much, but I'm going to get better, baby. You ain't got to worry. Now watch this. When you hear that, watch this, ladies. I want you to catch this. Make sure that doesn't push you into a place of manipulation. Because that's witchcraft. What do you mean, Pastor? Because now he's trying to be the best you for you. Don't push for things that you know is going to push his buttons. And then when you do that, then you say something like, and you supposed to be saved. Or you promised me you was going to be like this. Well, when I promised that, I didn't think you was going to act like that. Amen. I told my wife this one time, can I tell her this all right? I said, hey, yo, you remember when I was telling you the other day that I wanted to be better to you? I don't want to be mean to you. I don't want to be a trip to you. I don't want to lose my cool with you. And she was like, yeah. I'm like, but you got to stop doing stuff that's going to make me do that, though. Because to me, you know what will set me off.
So when you do that, you're doing it on purpose. And then what you're hoping I'll say is something like, you know what? I ain't even tripping. Go ahead. See, you want your way, so now you use what I proclaimed that I was going to treat you, how I proclaimed that I was going to treat you better. You use it against me to get your way. And that ain't fair. Some man better clap his hands in here, because I know I ain't the only one to deal with this. You understand what I'm saying to you? So when you set back, brothers, and you declare and decree that I'm going to be a better man, what you need to put in the clause of that contract is, but that don't give you the reason to trip on me. Don't trip and don't expect to see me trip, because that's not love. That is setting me up for failure. Ladies, be careful. That ain't how you do it, because, see, sometimes you won't even know that's what you're doing. And then what Satan have you saying is something like, he just lies. He sat right there and said he wasn't going to be like this no more. And Satan has subconsciously shielded your thought process of thinking, but I've been a mess since he's been trying. So let me just encourage all you moms out there this morning. God doesn't call you to be perfect. He calls you to walk in his perfection. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, declares the Lord. So take time, sit at the feet of Jesus. In other words, take time and get into the word of God. Mothers, wives, stop wanting to, and I'm talking to my church in here today. You women, stop wanting a godly man, but you ain't a godly woman. See, let me tell you something. Let me tell you some of these women, how it worked. She was godlier than me, and I was the pastor. I was a hot mess times 10, and I was the pastor. But you know what got me together? I watched her walk godly despite me. See, women, because your significant other might not be where you want him to be, don't give you the right to be any way you want to be. You still have to walk the walk of Christ. And the prayer as you're walking the walk of Christ is that it will draw him, not to you, but to him. Because if your walk draws him to Jesus, it inevitably draws him back to you. Oh, God. Let me go ahead and help you, mothers, real quick. Stop running around here, and you single women need to understand this, too. I want a man to love me more than anything. No, you don't. Because if I can love you more than I can love God, I can love your friend too more than I love you. Y'all don't want to get real in here. Don't get quiet now, Pastor. You don't. You don't. Sherry had to fix her hair on that one. Her silence was deafening. Lord, Israel's over. Mama, be quiet. He's just preaching. Truth be told, though, if you want a man to love you more than anything, you want your man to be in sin. And here's the problem with sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So if he goes in sin to love you more than he loves anything else, don't get mad about all the other sin you got to go through. Because your desire for him to love you more than anything else has actually created a portal to allow hell to come into your lives. You want a man that loves God no matter what, loves him first. And will tell you straight up, I said I'm saved and I ain't doing it. And if you ask me that again, I understand you ain't the one for me. Yeah, those are the type of men that you want in your life. And when you get those type of men, stop cursing them. So can I just go ahead and be real? Because most of this church would probably be saved would be married if we wouldn't have cursed our blessings. What you mean, Pastor? God bring the dude in your life and you smash him, but you're saved. You're the one going to church, but you give him his way, which means that he's your God, not God. So why should he listen to you about a God that you don't serve when you serve him more than you serve the God that you want to talk about? Clap your hands right there. It's crazy. It's crazy. So listen. Read the Bible, study the Bible, learn the Bible, memorize the Bible. You do that, and before long, you will be a living Bible. Compare what God's words say against what the world says. And if they differ, reject the world's point of view, mothers. And lastly, keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets you, and look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. You hear me? Listen, let me tell you something. This is a true testimony. My wife had to stop paying attention to me because I was the sin that would so easily beset her, that would throw her off. And she got to the point to where I would say something slick and she wouldn't even respond. And my foolish self would say something like, "That's right." And then I'd have to go sit down in what I just said and think about that. And waking her up at 3 in the morning going, "I'm dead wrong. And I'm sorry." We need godly mothers. We need godly mothers. And in order for you to be godly, you're going to have to not be scared. That means you're going to have to stay godly in the relationships, watch this, that you're not married to. And the reason why most of our mothers don't do that is because they've been through so much hell and high water with relationship, they've just forgotten, or they just decided they were not going to trust God with this. Because if I trust God, this is a good one. I mean, he got a car, he got a job, he ain't got no kids. He got one, and he takes care of him all the time. You know how y'all put it down. And so I mean, I don't want to lose this one. So in not wanting to lose this one, you lose faith in God. You don't operate in the faith of God. And since you don't operate in the faith of God, guess what? You don't get the blessing of God. So it'd feel good for the moment. And had every, you went down all the checklists of this is the one. How did this not be the one? Because you cursed what God blessed you with. You know why the churches are filled with women, more women than they are with men? Because women are messing up the men. Why you say that, Pastor? Because y'all the ones coming to church. Y'all coming to church, but don't come home with a difference. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all coming to church, but don't come home with a difference. You ought to come home from church some Sundays with a U-Haul. I found you a place, but you can't stay here. I want us to be together forever. You got to leave now. Here's a plate I cooked before I left. Here you go. Bye. All the single women, raise your hand. I want to show you something. I don't care if you got a boyfriend. If you're single, if you ain't married, you're single. Put your hands in there if you're single. Amen. Single. Yeah. Now, check this out right here. As you go through your courting, as you go through your relationships, go through them godly or expect demonology. Walk through it godly or expect Satan to show up in your life. And watch this, and he has a right to. Because anywhere you operate in his ways and his stuff, have his stuff, he has a right to show up. Now, how many like the devil? How many of you single people like the devil? Enjoys his company every now and again? Well, if you don't, then I would suggest that you operate in a way that does not draw you to him or bring him to you. My spiritual mother, in closing, once said to me, I was telling her about this young lady, and I said, "Oh, she's the one. We're going to get married." Y'all heard me tell the story before. And I was exercising, and I was telling her, "You just, mama, I can't wait for you to meet this one." And she said, "You having sex with that girl?" I said, "Ma'am," embarrassed, "you heard me. Are you doing things with this girl that you shouldn't do?" "Yes, sir." "Then she doesn't. Then you can't love her. How can you love someone that you're trying to send to hell?" You hear me, man of God? You hear me? Don't tell her you love her, but then ask her to do things that's going to make her go to hell. You can't do that's not. That's not love. That's selfishness. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. I love y'all. Listen. I want to tell you mothers, every last one of you, that I'm so proud of you. I know it's not easy. Life isn't fair. And sometimes you mothers, especially you single mothers, you find yourself just trying to figure out, just how am I going to go on? How am I going to keep on keeping on when life is crashing down? when life is crashing down around me. I want to encourage you, mothers, married and single. I want to encourage you. Keep the word of the Lord. Keep the word of the Lord. Keep the word of the Lord. You can't agree with me not keeping the word of the Lord. You can't. You can't be like, amen, but you don't keep the word of the Lord. You can't. Mothers, keep the word of the Lord. Your children's lives depend on it. Keep the word of the Lord. You know why they keep running back to your house? Because God dwells there. God dwells there. And no matter how much it gets on your nerves, you hear me? God dwells there. My two examples of God is down the street. So when it's chaotic and hellish, I run. I run to where I know God is. Mothers, you have to keep God first. We're living in such a time where the world's just destroying and dog walking our children. And we got to keep the word. We got to keep the word. I'm in this place right now where I'm showing my different children. I'm showing them like, oh, you see the word in that? You see the word in that? But you can't show them what you don't know. And I promise every last one of our children, mothers, is going through some hell and high water, and you can show them how to walk out of this, how to walk out of this in a good way, how to walk out of this not so scarred, how to walk out of this not, you know, depressed and broken all the time. I'm promising you, mothers, you're going to have to change the game, because some of your children are depressed because you taught them how to be. You taught them how to be. Some of your kids are defeated because you taught them how to be. Some of your kids are, because you taught them how to be. And we can't worry about what daddy didn't do. Daddy didn't have them. Daddy had a hand in making them, but he didn't have them. Even if he ran off, they're with you. No excuses. God's word. God's word. God's word. In fact, if you are raising children without the Father in their lives, you really need God's word. Because he said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. Hey. Raise them in God's word. Mothers, I salute you. You got the hardest job on the planet. The hardest job on the planet. Because the kids don't know how you stay up late at night crying yourself to sleep. They don't know how you had to sacrifice a few things and you might have went and you wore some clothes that didn't fit, not because you was trying to be sexy, but because they needed clothes and they didn't have no help with getting you together. They don't know how you struggled. They don't know how you had to contemplate die or stay here and take care of them. Die and stay here, kill myself because it's just so crazy in my head. They don't know your struggle. They don't know your struggle. That's why you got to have God in your life. That's why you have to have God ruling in your life. Because that precious baby right there that you're holding, I want you to understand, Satan hates her. He absolutely hates her. And you say something so little, something so precious, something so small. That baby right there, Satan hates him. And he's coming for him. And he's coming for him. And the question becomes, to all of you mothers, will you allow them access by how you operate? Or will you be a defense mechanism saying, no weapon formed against my baby shall be able to prosper? Which will you be? Which will you be? Stand to your feet. Let's get you out of here. Woo! Hanamasi. Hanamasi. Don't curse your blessing. It's your friend. Don't curse your blessing. Don't take the curse when it's offered. Don't want it and don't take it when it's offered. Because if you're going to do something that's kingdom, you got to do it kingdomly. Yeah. Don't curse your blessing. Don't curse your blessing. If you want forever, it's going to take him. Don't curse your blessing. Don't go back to the generational ways of old, where if I'm going to keep him, I have to. No. I'm declaring every man in here that's got a woman that you ain't married to, I'm declaring over your life, I dare you, let them know, we ain't getting ready to do nothing that's going to disrespect God and then turn around and ask for God's help while we go forward. The devil is a lie. Nah, we ain't getting ready to do that. We are not going to operate like the norm. Yeah, we're not going to operate as the world says it's okay to operate, because I don't want a worldly marriage. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, we come here today and we thank you. We thank you for every mother, every precious, beautiful mother. God, we ask right now that you strengthen them, because they're hurting in ways that they have never explained, ways that us men could never understand. God, we pray for every mother. God, we ask that you give her strength. We ask that you give her understanding. We ask that you give her courage to be able to walk the word out in totality in every area of her life, not being afraid of who might leave her because she does. Lord, I pray for the mother today. I pray for the mother who's raising her children on her own. I pray for the mother who's barely making it, making sure that her kids got shoes and clothes. And God, I pray for the mother who sets back sometimes and wonder how she gonna make the ends meet, because they never do. But God, I ask that you give her peace today. God, I ask that you give her strength today. God, I ask that you remind her that you said you'd never leave her, nor you'd never forsake her. And it don't make no never mind what's coming up against her. You are with her. And since you are with her, nothing can be against her. God, I pray for the mother today who feels like she's a failure, who feels like she's messed her children up. I pray for that mother today that looks around and it's just, they miss their children because their children won't even come around because of how they've been. God, I pray for her today. Lord, I pray for forgiveness for her today. God, I ask that you touch her with the realm of forgiveness, that she might be able to forgive herself. God, I ask that you touch those children to give her another try, another chance, that she might be able to prove that she walks with God now and she's a different and new creation. Father, I pray for the people in the building that don't have their mothers today, the mothers that you've called on home. God, I pray for them. There's a different type of loneliness that operates within them. There's a different type of sadness that operates within them. God, I ask that you to be the peace that surpasses all understanding. God, I ask that you said you'd be a mother to the motherless. God, we call on that right now in the name of Jesus for those of us that don't have our mothers anymore. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love us so much that you would do these things. We thank you so much that you blessed us with the mother, that the earth can continue to multiply, but God, let it multiply in a righteous rate, not other than a demonic one. So we give you, God, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We salute every mother in the building, and we give you all the honor, praise, and glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen.